they're getting wild for me and all the pretty chicks. Welcome into the Saturday show, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Saturday morning. I'm Jay Catch, joined as always by Michelle Bodkin. Michelle, what's up?
Not much. Another day, another dollar.
That's very true on that front. But we got a lot to cover ahead on today's show. It is a Super Bowl edition of the Saturday show. We have the Super Bowl tomorrow. Super Bowl 58.
Crazy.
So, I know, in Las Vegas. And apparently things are just going like it's been going off very, very well down there. Like, but you would expect that with Las Vegas, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's a place that makes sense. Just, you know, maybe let the people do the Vegas things actually next time.
Well, yeah, that in of itself would be probably ideal, but fun times all the same. And we got a lot to cover. Like I mentioned on today's show, we're going to be joined by Kyle Ireland, who is of course our NFL insider / like do everything.
Yeah.
Guy for the KSLSports.com crew. I feel like Kyle's always on shift. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just,
yeah.
Feels like he's always doing something, but he's going to join us to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. We will talk a little bit about the Utah Jazz, some of the moves they made at the trade deadline. We actually got a big day of college hoops ahead of us. Mm-hmm. We got Utah State, BYU, like all in action within like 2 hours of each other tonight. So we'll
I've got Red Rocks before that.
I was gonna say you have a busy day. You're the Red Rocks. Who are they're in a quad meet or are they in a?
No, just a dual meet. They're up in Washington today.
Okay.
So immediately when we wrap up, I have to run home do that, and then once that wraps up, I have to run up to the Huntsman Center.
It's a busy Saturday for Michelle Bodkin in particular here. All right, so before we dive in, let's talk a little bit about highlights of the week. Christian, why don't you start this week? Why don't we have you start? We're going to switch this up a little. Christian, producer for us today. Go ahead, bud.
Pretty low key this week. I can't think of a major highlight. I mean, I filled in on the JJ and Alex show.
Ah, yes.
Yesterday and Thursday. Thursday was the NBA trade deadline. So that was fun.
That's a busy day.
Yeah, that was really fun helping out with that show with all the chaos going on. And it was a big day. Like you said, we'll break it down later. The Jazz made a couple of moves, so it was fun being here and getting all that stuff out there.
Sure, I can understand that. Absolutely. Michelle, you got a highlight?
I had a lot of fun the last couple of days sitting courtside and taking pictures and doing social media for the Utah men's and women's games. Obviously, the result, maybe not what everybody would have liked, at least if you cheer for the Utes, but the men at least put on a pretty entertaining show. So,
yeah, well, triple overtime in that game. Considering the first half that game had,
that was kind of shocking that we even got to that point.
Like at halftime, I'm like, okay, well, they're putting in a valiant effort, but then in the second half, they just turn it on. It's like, oh, maybe they are. And let's be honest, had they hit a couple more free throws, it's a different game. Crazy stuff. Highlight of my week is my birthday this week. So
happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, so we'll just do that. I'll just leave it there. I try and keep it low key, but then of course, like working here at Bonneville, you can't hide for very long, I've decided, when it comes to your birthday around these parts.
Oh really? No one acknowledged it this past year, which I was fine with that.
You worked it the right way then, because apparently I couldn't walk around a corner without somebody knowing while I was here earlier this week. So fun all the same, but yes, it just reminds me that I'm old and getting closer to 40. So
yeah, I have a birthday coming up this year that I'll be at the midway point of my 30s. Yeah. So.
It's one of those things. I said it on social media this week. I'm like, I remember vividly thinking when I was 17 years old, I was in high school, and I'm like, if I get to 35, I'm going to be old. Yeah, I'm past that. I'm past that mark now.
It's here. Yeah. I'm old.
So good times. All right, let's dive in here. And I want to start today, Michelle, talking a little bit about the Super Bowl itself. Obviously, big matchup between the Niners and the Chiefs. Kind of the road to get here has been interesting because the Chiefs had maybe their worst regular season with Patrick Mahomes under center, but they turned it on at the right time. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers have kind of been like this team that's been carrying this weight of expectation around, and they have had their struggles, but they've found their way through, and they've found ways to win, especially falling behind 24-7 to the Detroit Lions. What do you like? Kind of your initial thought looking ahead to tomorrow. What after 2 weeks of buildup for this game?
Yeah.
Have your thoughts changed at all?
Mm, No, I mean, my heart really, really wants the Niners. Obviously, that's a team that I kind of grew up cheering
sure.
for. But my head, the logistical parts of me are like, I think it's the Chiefs.
Well, and that until you can knock them off,
it's hard to say no
yeah.
to them.
And that's,
yeah.
That's the tough part is you look at like the Chiefs, you're like, okay, they're not as good as they have been offensively,
mm-hmm.
but they have a defense that they've built kind of in the meantime here. And I know, Christian, kind of like it burns you as a Denver Broncos fan to keep watching the Chiefs just keep doing their thing, I'm sure.
They always find a way.
And that's trust me, that's the thought I keep coming back to as a very big 49ers fan. I'm like, it has to be the Chiefs, really? Like, come on now. We could add Baltimore or something like that, but no, it's Kansas City, and that's the interesting part about this. Can you ding dong the witch is dead? Can you knock off Patrick Mahomes? Because as Christian points out, they just find ways.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be an interesting question. On the flip side, the 49ers also have a pretty good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their offense, I think, that at times is a little questionable. So I think it's really going to come down to who just performs and executes better. We saw the Niners test fate with the Packers pretty hard. And then, of course, kind of the same deal with the Lions, but it felt very different than that Packers game.
Mm-hmm.
For that one, it just felt more like they turned on the afterburners, whereas the first game, it felt a little more like just pure dumb luck.
Well, in some ways.
Which, I mean, it's what is the saying? It's better to be lucky than good. So, I mean, it certainly played out with the Packers that way. But, I don't know. It's really, as Christian said, just feels like right now it's the Chiefs' world and we're all living in it.
Mm-hmm.
And until somebody can prove otherwise, and maybe Brock Purdy and the Niners are just that group to do so, it's just really, really hard for me to not see a world in which the Chiefs don't walk away with this.
If the Niners dig themselves a hole against the Chiefs,
yeah.
they're not getting out of it.
I would be shocked if they do.
And it feels that way, but they've dug themselves holes in the previous two games in the playoffs they
right.
have played and kind of, as I like to say, wriggled their way off the hook somehow.
Against Jordan Love and Jared Goff. But
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes.
I was
going to
say, Mahomes
animal.
Is...
a little different than the others.
Well, okay, and that brings me to another point, like thinking about the Chiefs, because there's been all the talk this week about is Andy Reid set to retire? And he's like, today's not that day. Mahomes is like, I'd be very surprised if he does it. Why would Andy quit right now? Like,
I mean, as long as they're still on top and performing well, yeah. I think we've kind of gone through the same thing with Kyle Whittingham,
yeah.
too. It's as long as you're still kind of rocking and rolling and things are moving in the right direction and,
sure.
and you don't feel like your performance is hindering the potential of the team, why would you quit?
Well, and that I think that's the best point that we've made so far, Michelle, is like, why would you step away from this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's the thing. Andy Reid, there were so many – I remember when the Eagles let him go / they separated,
yeah.
there were so many people that told him, take time off. Like, take a year off, decompress a little bit, then get back in. Andy's not wired like this. He is a guy that football, he talked about that, and he's dead serious about this. Football, family, and faith.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things that go on in his life. He doesn't fish. He doesn't golf. He doesn't do anything.
He cheeseburgers.
Yes. Apparently, is it In-N-Out, the original Tommy's, and like Hawkins House of Cheeseburgers?
I did
out,
see
where,
that.
It was like
yeah.
his top three.
Yep,
and I'm
top
like,
three burgers.
I'm like, okay. And he's a kid from SoCal, so
yeah.
I get that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He grew up in Southern California. But he doesn't have
yeah.
other things. There are other coaches out there who have their thing,
mm-hmm.
whether it's golf or they have something else that they like to do. For Andy Reid, it's football.
Mm-hmm.
Football is life, to quote Ted Lasso there in a different circumstance.
Yeah, different kind of football.
But
hey.
When you've built what they have built in Kansas City, you've got probably, in many ways, his defense is better than his offense right now, which is completely flip-flopped from so many of his other teams his entire 25 years coaching in the NFL as a head coach. Why would you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm stepping out right here. It's like, no. If Bill Belichick can keep going, is it Bill 71 this year, and they're talking about him chasing Don Shula's record, and he wants to get back in. Well, he's gonna have to take a year off because he didn't get one of the jobs.
Which is kind of shocking.
It is. Well, I think the Atlanta Falcons overthought things. They're like, we need to get Raheem. And no, you can build Belichick in there. You can bring in Raheem Morris as like your defensive coordinator, the head coach in waiting. Do what you did with Jared Mayo up there in New England. But alas, it is what it is. And he's only 65. So he's still got time on his side. And he can roll on. So, yeah, that whole conversation. But then the other conversation involving Patrick Mahomes is, okay, is he on track here to become the GOAT? Is he on track at some point down the road to go and take the GOAT title from Tom Brady? Well, there's 7 Super Bowl titles that Tom Brady has in his back pocket. Is it 10 or 11 Super Bowl appearances? I think it's 10 overall.
I'd have to look it up.
In Brady's career.
A lot.
But Mahomes is only 28 years old.
Yeah.
It appears he's on a track. That if it keeps going, he's going to do that. But That's the crazy part to consider is, okay, they're set up for the both near-term and long-term here.
Yeah, as long as you don't have, like, one of those freaky,
well, sure, and
freaky
that,
kind of
that can change everything.
Career-ending accidents or what. Like, yeah, I mean, love him or hate him, he's good, right? You just can't. You can't deny that. He just has something that's a little extra special that we haven't seen before, which is exactly what made Tom Brady so great as well. Then obviously they're two very different players, but two different, very different styles of quarterbacking. But regardless, just very, very effective. And so unless, you know, defenses figure out Patrick Mahomes and kind of eliminate that altogether, or like I said, there's maybe like a freaky career-ending injury, which we've obviously seen that happen before. Joe Theismann, Alex Smith, you know.
Sure,
he is on a very high-producing trajectory. Could he beat, you know, what Tom Brady's done? I don't know. It seems very lofty, even with the trajectory that Pat's on. But I mean, stranger things have happened. So
well, and the other crazy thing about it is you look at what Mahomes would have to accomplish, and he's talking about, like, people are asking him, like, well, are you on your way to becoming the GOAT? And he's like, dude, I'm not even halfway there yet, like officially.
Yeah.
He's like, let's just like hold off on that. I think it's the same thing with the whole Andy Reid conversation. He's like, hey, hold off. Like, stop trying to push me into retirement here. I'm having fun. This is my life. This is what I love to do. Why are you trying to push me out the door here, y'all? Like,
well, and I think from the Andy Reid standpoint, like, there is a delicate balance of keeping going because you're doing well and you're having fun with it, but not going so long that you overstay your welcome.
Correct.
I think a guy like that is probably going to want to kind of leave on top, but it's kind of noticing those like small little slippages, I think, and knowing, you know, when to pull the plug. And I think only Andy's going to know that. I don't think any of the rest of us are really going to notice that, pick up on that. It's kind of the same with Nick Saban, right?
Oh, like. Yeah. Well, he stunned everybody when he said, okay, I'm out. And it's like, what?
I mean, he did, but he didn't. You kind of, Alabama's still good, right?
Sure.
Like, I mean, Alabama was still kind of doing what Alabama does, but it was on a little bit of a lesser angle than what they have been doing. And so that kind of was I wonder if that's maybe on the horizon because they're just not. They're still really good. They're still in the mix for things, but they're not performing quite the way that they once did. And I think that's kind of going to ultimately end up being like Andy's cue when he's ready to go. We're still really good. We're still in the mix for things, but we're just not performing the way we once were.
Well, and that's the other thing about it is Andy, he talked about it. He said, quote, you're going to know when it's time. Today's not the day. Like, everybody knows, I think, when they're, okay, yep, I've had enough, I'm stepping away. And I just look at it on its head, I'm like, this is definitely not the day for Andy Reid to be like, you know what, I'm stepping away. Now, maybe at some point, 2 or 3 years down the line, contract negotiate, whatever happens. The NFL, you know how it is. You have you can only pay so many people. That's why there's a salary cap league. They want parity in this league. Maybe at some point down the line, he looks at it and says, yeah, I don't have the horses to get it done anymore. Maybe now, and like they make one last run at it, and that's when he steps away. But right now, the way that defense is built, with a lot of guys under contract who are good players, you have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Those, that tandem alone, seemingly, he's got you set up. Now you have to. I think you need to upgrade your wide receiving core because they've cost y'all. Here's the deal. You have the structure. You got the framework there. That Andy's like, no, this ain't it yet.
Let's hope that when he does announce his retirement, it's him announcing it instead of these, reports from the big ESPN guys. Going,
Adam Schefter bomb.
Right. Schefter bomb. That stuff with Jason Kelce made me so upset.
Yeah, and that's tough.
When they're racing to see who can break the news first when – let it come from the source. Let it come from the guy. Like, it's a very special thing, and I don't like the way that these insiders kind of ruin that just because they want to be the first one to report the news.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, I hope Jason Kelce comes back just another year to spite him again.
That would be funny. I would pay for that.
Like Tom Brady did.
Well, yeah. You said I'm retired? No, I'm not retired.
You know, that's something that I learned pretty early on because – I worked for a recruiting site, right?
Yeah.
Like, and obviously I didn't, I did not do really anything on the recruiting end of it. I was there for once they like signed and they were with Utah. But like the one thing that was pounded into our brains working there is do not steal the kid's thunder unless the kid says, hey, I don't want to announce it. You go ahead and do that.
Sure.
And it's the same thing here with the retirement of some of these all-time greats. Like, unless they say, I don't care to be the one to break it, leave them alone and let them do it themselves. It's their moment, and it's their time to shine, and it's their time to get their flowers. Don't steal that from them.
Well, and here's the other thing about this. Andy Reid, okay, he is – so with tomorrow's appearance in the Super Bowl, he is now one of only four head coaches to reach the Super Bowl five times in his career, joining Bill Belichick, who's made it 9 times, Don Shula, who made it 6, and Tom Landry, who made it 5. Like, pretty elite territory there.
Yeah,
and then once they
names.
Win, he joins Bill Belichick, who has 6, Chuck Noll 4, Joe Gibbs 3, Bill Walsh 3, as the only head coaches of the 3+ Super Bowl wins to the resume.
Again, that's some names.
You're in elite territory, and you're set up to
continue doing that.
Make another run. Yeah, I just don't. So there's a whole legacy bit here for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now I want to flip it over and talk about the 49ers for a minute. Is that what's the whole rep of Kyle Shanahan? Do you know what the big rep this week has been, Michelle, about him?
No.
Can't win the big one. You look at it. The 28-3 against the Patriots when he was the offensive coordinator with the Falcons.
Right.
Needed to make like seemingly one play, and they would have had that Super Bowl in the pocket. And they made every other mistake known to man.
I know. Oh, that game was crazy.
He's had failures in the NFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl, most recently against the Rams. So there's this big rep for the 49ers that, yes, they're the big, bad San Francisco 49ers, but they can't win the big one. It's been 30 years. Like there's this whole thing of Steve Young's last guy to have done it. It was the 1995 technically Super Bowl down in Miami. It's been a long, long time since the Niners have been on top of the NFL. And on paper, you look at what San Francisco's built, the weapons on both offense and defense. You have an incredible story with Brock Purdy at quarterback, Mr. Irrelevant. It sets up here for the 49ers. Like, okay, if you're not going to do it now, when are you really going to get it done?
That's impossible for me to answer.
Sure.
It's probably impossible for them to answer, too. I mean, the answer might be never with that group, if that's the case, because you have, you know, teams that it feels like are kind of starting to figure themselves out that are going to make the competition harder.
Yeah.
You look at the Buffalo Bills. You look at the Lions. You look at, I mean, different side of things, but like the Ravens. Like there's just other teams that are kind of floating around and flirting. The Packers look like they're maybe kind of back on track with Jordan Love. Like, so, you know, you're in a position where I think it's going to start getting even more competitive in the next couple of years. And if this group doesn't get that done now, it's only going to get tougher moving forward to try and make it happen with basically that same group.
Well, and that you're right. And we'll play this. We'll see what we can do. Steve Young joined DJ and PK this week, and he talked about the exact thing, Michelle. He's like, here's the thing. The Niners, they're set up here, and they have gotten a major break. It's kind of what the Golden State Warriors had when they got Kevin Durant. Remember, Steph Curry was on an extremely cheap deal at that point, allowing them, under the circumstances and the salary cap, to bring in Kevin Durant, obviously leading them to some pretty incredible heights. Well, let's put it this way. Brock Purdy is being paid $800,000 as your starting quarterback in a league that the top-end quarterbacks right now are worth $50 million.
Yeah.
It has given the San Francisco 49ers an incredible break to pay guys like Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, George Kittle, on down the list. Add Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel to that list. You have all these weapons. Brock's going to come up against a contract negotiation here in the next couple of years. And guess what? If I'm him, I'm holding out for every single last dime I can.
Oh, yeah, you owe me some back change.
Yeah.
Like, you owe me some back change.
Like he is so wildly underpaid for what he's accomplished, which is just, it's an incredible story in and of itself. But that, so it just feels like right now, yes, the Chiefs are set up for the long term. The Niners almost feel like, in a way, that they're set up if they can kind of keep pieces in place, but there's so many, like, unknowns about that.
Yeah.
So it feels like in some ways the Niners are on borrowed time here, whereas the Chiefs, you're like, yeah, well, it's more of the same.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to, look at that. I would agree with that.
It's just, and here's the other thing about this. The NFL loves this, by the way, like the league. Come on, you got a story of, you have a dynasty that has been built. You have this other team that is considered to be one of the elite teams that has not gone over the hump quite yet, who is making do with literally the last pick in the NFL draft at quarterback. And making do is probably the wrong term, but
yeah,
they found their option, considering they had mortgaged the future. And I say this as a 49ers fan. They traded multiple picks away to bring in a guy that's no longer on the roster. So, yeah, way to go. Way to go, guys. They got bailed out on that. So it's just, but the other thing about it, it shows you different ways for this league to build contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the NFL, we all know this, they're all about building as much parity into the league. They've announced they're going even more global in the next couple of years. I don't know if you saw this. They're going to go to Madrid in 2025.
Ooh.
They're going to Spain. And the plan is, in 2025, they're going to have 8 international games versus the 4 that they've had so far.
Wow.
So the game's continuing to grow, and at the same time, they're finding, I guess, it's new and innovative. Is that the right term? Like, it's innovative what the Niners have done, because you got bailed out with this Mr. Irrelevant over here at quarterback. But meanwhile, the Chiefs have shown you can draft a quarterback in the first round. Doesn't have to be the first pick overall. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, they traded up to 14th, if I recall correctly, to get him. You can still get middle of the first round and find a dynamic talent, all-timer, it looks like, and build your teams around those two different guys. And it shows that the NFL's got still a stranglehold on all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. They know how to rope us in.
They do.
That's for sure.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl as it continues. I've got, I want to do this, Michelle. Obviously, this is the whole, I've seen some shirts out there of Super Bowl 58, Taylor's edition. Have you seen those shirts?
No, I haven't.
They've started to come out. We're going to have some fun with some prop bets a little bit later on. I want to kind of get your thoughts on some of them with regards to Taylor Swift, because that's the other dynamic at play here.
Okay.
We'll get to that. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk to Kyle Ireland, get his insight on this game, talk a little bit about the locals in this game as well. There's a lot of local connections on both of these teams. It's all coming up next right here on The Saturday Show. Welcome back to The Saturday Show here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Michelle Bodkin, Jay Catch, along for the ride on the Saturday morning. Hope you all are doing well out there, no matter what you got going on. Super Bowl 58 tomorrow in Las Vegas. And please welcome in now a good friend of the program, a good friend of ours in general, Kyle Ireland from KSLSports.com. He does a lot of coverage of the NFL for that fine website. Kyle, how are you doing, man?
Jake, Michelle, we made it.
Yay.
We are here. It is Super Bowl weekend. I'm excellent. I couldn't be better because we have the big game tomorrow. How are you guys doing? You guys excited? You ready for this?
I'm slightly terrified because my Niners are in the game, but that's okay.
He's a little more vested
in it. No. It's okay, Jake. The Niners are my second favorite team,
okay.
So I have a little anxiety as well. But we're gonna make it through tomorrow, okay? We're gonna be okay.
Okay, can we start there real quick? Are you feeling like some kind of like melancholy that knowing that tomorrow's like the last day of football for a little bit, like the actual games?
To be honest with you, I am ready for it to be over.
Okay.
I am tired, man.
I can understand.
It's been
that.
A long few months. It's been a long few months. I'm gonna miss it. But I am excited about the off season. I think it'll be a busy off season, so I'm looking forward to that. I know that Michelle's been, honed in on like the, college guys and the Senior Bowl and stuff, and so I'm looking forward to like that transition. I always love the draft, and so football doesn't, it ends on the field, but it never really ends. The NFL is 365, and so we'll have a little downtime, but I do like the off season as well, and so we're gonna take advantage of the big game tomorrow. And then after that, we're going to turn our focus to, these guys coming out of Utah and BYU and all these other schools. So it'll be fun.
I mean, before we start really diving into maybe some draft stuff, talk about this big game, because we actually do have quite a few locals involved in one way or another on both sides.
Yeah, sure. So on the Chiefs side, you've got, a handful of coaches here. You've got Andy Reid, obviously, I feel like most people know his story and coming out of BYU as a offensive lineman. He was also a graduate assistant there on the staff. And then Porter Ellett, he is the assistant running back coach for the Chiefs. He's a BYU alum. Alex Whittingham, former Utah linebacker, he's a defensive quality control coach for the Chiefs. And then on the practice squad, you've got former BYU tight end Matt Bushman. He won't play in the game, but those are the guys associated with the Chiefs there, those four. But then on the Niners side of things, you've got Mitch Wishnowsky, just an all-star punter from the University of Utah, and then all-pro linebacker Fred Warner out of BYU. And then he didn't play this season due to injury, but Cam Law, too. He played college football at Alabama, but he's an Olympus High product out of Salt Lake. He's also on the 49ers. So a good, nice mix of local talent. I always look forward, when we're going into the postseason to kind of see what matchups there are going to be as far as the local guys potentially at the end of the season. And this year, every single team was represented with local players or coaches, except for the Cowboys to start the playoffs. So once the Cowboys were out after they lost in the wild card game to the Packers, I was like, sweet, we're set. The Super Bowl is going to be awesome. We're going to have local talent on either side, which I think just speaks to, the state of Utah in general. Obviously, the college, talent that's come out of this state from BYU and Utah State, even Weber State and SUU have guys in the NFL. And then the high school ranks as well. There's a dozen guys that didn't play college football here in Utah, but played high school state, and they're at the next level now. So it keeps me busy, but it's also like, kind of a, there's a source of pride for people in the state to look at what the state has produced as far as NFL guys.
Now, see, that's the interesting part about this, Kyle. We hear all the time about the increase in recruiting, BYU just coming off maybe their best recruiting class under Kalani Sitake, ranked 44th in the country. And that's the part about this is the local schools, you even mentioned like Weber State, Southern Utah have had their impact here in the NFL as well. They're pumping out more talent than ever, and that, I think, adds the element. You already probably have, most of our listeners, have an NFL team that they root for. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of us that grew up in the state, Michelle and I did like this. Kyle, I think you probably have a similar sentiment. We root for guys from this state. Mm-hmm. We it doesn't matter if you play the U, the Y, Utah State. It doesn't matter where you played. We're always going to root for you just of our heart of hearts because you represent what we represent in this state. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I see it every week when I'm putting stories out for, whether it be a guy like Fred Warner for the Niners, he had an interception in the Super Bowl 4 years ago. And I remember writing a story about that during the game, putting it out on our social media platforms and channels. And I mean, that stuff kind of blows up when it is there. Like I mentioned before, there's that sense of pride. It's like you have a connection with somebody, right? Like as opposed to like, you know, they're Niner fans, they're Seahawk fans, Patriot fans, Bronco fans. All these different teams are represented with fans in the state. And because the state of Utah doesn't have, you know, a team that it really calls home, I think that the Vegas Raiders are probably, you know, trying to make their mark here. And, you know, they've been there for, you know, 4 or 5 years there now. So I think there's some of that that people are kind of adapting and, you know, or I guess adopting, I should say, a team. But to have these guys that they watched, whether it be at high school or it be at BYU, Utah, Utah State, you know, these guys, it's somewhat more of a, you know, an emotional connection to some of these players. I mean, I saw it, you know, a lot with, you know, Tyler Huntley with the University of Utah when he had a chance to get some reps this season. A lot of Utah fans, you know, get really excited about that. They're not Baltimore Ravens fans. They're there to cheer on the guy that they cheered on for 4 years at the University of Utah. Or, you know, it's a guy like Zach Wilson when he has a good game against the Houston Texans after all the struggles that he's gone through to be able to, you know, have a good performance. You know, BYU fans are excited to see that. So it is cool. I do wish, you know, that we had a team here in the state of Utah, Utah to cover as well. That would be exciting. But no, we'll accept the, you know, the number of guys that we have in the state. And, you know, even looking forward, like not saying that, you know, it isn't the NFL, but like the UFL starting at the end of March, there's a ton of guys that represent the locals there as well. You've got Utah, BYU players and that. So, you know, it is fun to see how these guys, even after they leave college or high school, their football careers have continued on.
How valuable do you think it is, Kyle, that people are like really starting to realize and talk about the amount of talent that comes out of this state? Because I remember 5 years ago working with the Stallions, a bunch of guys that weren't from here, never had played here. Well, who's even come out of Utah? And I'd like tick people off, you know, Steve Smith, Alex Smith, Steve Young, you know, like the and they'll like stop and do a, oh, they played here? Like, I love that guy. I didn't know that they played college in Utah. That's weird. But now it seems to be people are a lot more aware. Do you think that helps maybe make a case eventually in the future to have a pro team here?
I mean, I don't know. I think there's so many factors that go into that that, it, you know, but let's see what happens with the NHL and MLB first, because I think that, you know, the state still probably isn't at the level it would need to be at as far as being able to support an NFL team. I have a hard time seeing that. You know, the NFL hasn't expanded in a couple of decades as well. So it's not really at the same, you know, state that a league like the NHL or even MLB is at. You know, everything that you read and hear about the NFL, I mean, NFL is king. It's crazy. But just as far as the local guys are concerned, talking about the talent, I mean, you can look back to last week. We didn't have a game, but we had the Pro Bowl games, and we had it was 7 guys represented there that were, you know, from the NFC and AFC that were Pro Bowl players. You've had Fred Warner, like I mentioned, was an All-Pro guy. There were a handful of other ones, but, you know, Jalen Johnson, Puka Nacua, Bobby Wagner, Rashid Shaheed, Penny, Miles Killebrew. I mean, I could go on and on about the accolades that the local guys have been able to garner over the last couple of seasons. But in this year particularly, I mean, you had a rookie in Puka Nacua who was the talk of the league. I mean, he was a storyline almost every single week throughout the 17-week regular season schedule. Last week, he wins the best catch at the Pro Bowl games. He's the runner-up for rookie of the year. I mean, it's crazy to see those kinds of things. And then you've got, you know, Penei Sewell, who is just a standout offensive tackle. Some consider him to be the best at his position in the league. Bobby Wagner has been doing it at such a high level. He's made like 8 or 9 Pro Bowls or something like that over his career out of Utah State. You've got Jalen Johnson, who is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, who's going to make a lot of money this offseason. I mean, There are just so many fun storylines. So, yeah, I do think that the locals are definitely helping put Utah on the map. I just don't know if it's going to turn into something more than that just because of, you know, what the NFL is. And I do think it would be hard to see, you know, a team in the state of Utah one day. I would love to see it, but I just don't know how realistic that is.
Kyle Ireland from KSLSports.com joining us here on the Saturday show. And Kyle, the situation of this game itself, we talked about it here in the first segment just before we had you on, is that it feels like these are two teams on different timelines. And what I mean by that is we had Steve Young on with DJ and PK, did an incredible write-up on that. Let me just say that straight out. Thank you for doing that. But he talked about the fact that the Niners have got an incredible ability to build around a core of really talented players because they have a discounted quarterback. Brock Purdy's making $800,000 this year in a league that routinely pays the top end quarterbacks $50 million. So they're able to pay other guys that money. Meanwhile, what Kansas City has built with Patrick Mahomes is they have got a core group of 4, 5, 6 individuals who are among the best, if not the best, at their respective positions, and that has helped them kind of fill in the cracks around that to build a dynasty of sorts here. Do you feel like this is in some ways the matchup of two teams that the Niners might be, as I said, living on a little bit on borrowed time until you have to pay Brock Purdy, whereas it feels like the Chiefs are just kind of keep rolling with what they've got?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot to what you said there. I mean, you can look at the talent. You mentioned Brock Purdy. I mean, he finished top four in the NFL MVP vote this year, so he's pretty solid as well. But the players that are around him, the weapons that he has, I mean – imagine if Patrick Mahomes had Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Fred Warner, Trent Williams, Javon Hargrave. I mean, like, I could go on. The 49ers are super talented, and it's even more impressive that they build and retain that type of talent after the all-in trade that they did to go and get Trey Lance a couple of years ago, and then that not panning out. So it is impressive what San Francisco has done, and I think something that maybe is not talked about enough is the fact that they've lost their coordinators multiple times over this last four season stretch. You know, you had Robert Saleh, he ends up taking the Jets head coaching job. Mike McDaniel, he ends up going to the Miami Dolphins. They've got, you know, new coordinators are, you can look and see what has happened with most teams the next season after they get a new offensive or defensive coordinator. There's a little bit of a learning curve there. Because even if they continue with the same scheme, same system, you know, that coach is going to do things his own way. It's a little different than the previous guy. So the run that the 49ers have had, I think that you can rely on some of those playmakers. But, you know, McCaffrey's only been there for a season and a half. And so, you know, he wasn't a part of that team, you know, 4 years ago that was in this first matchup between the 49ers and Chiefs. But different quarterback. But, you know, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Fred Warner, like those guys are all, you know, kind of, you know, anchors there for the 49ers. And then on the flip side, I think that really throughout this playoff run, you look at what the Chiefs have done. They've beat the Dolphins. They've beat the Bills. They beat the Ravens. Really, those three teams, I think, that they've beat could have been considered the favorites to reach the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl at some point during the season. Right. Miami put 70 points up on the Denver Broncos. The Ravens, which lost a couple of weeks ago, they were the number one seed in the AFC. The Buffalo Bills were one of the hottest teams entering the postseason. So I think it really does speak to the continuity that the Chiefs have. You know, Andy Reid's just an outstanding play caller, but they've even had some you know, uniqueness with their coordinating situation. They've got, you know, Eric Bieniemy left. He was their coordinator for the last few seasons. He goes to the Washington Commanders this last season. So they bring back Matt Nagy, who was their coordinator a few years ago. And it's just kind of like, at the end of the day, I think you have to look at the quarterback and the head coach. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have been doing this for 6 seasons now. They've made 6 consecutive AFC title games. And at some point, those two guys are inevitable. I think that until they prove that they shouldn't be picked and chosen to win these games, like, I'm going to continue to roll with them.
So, Kyle, I know it's really early still in this process, but what are your initial impressions of what the 2024 NFL draft's going to look like locally?
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of guys there. I do think, like you mentioned, it is still early. Once we get past the NFL Combine, I think we're going to have a better idea of how things play out with some of these local guys, just because we've seen in the last few years, you know, the testing really does matter. A guy like Puka Nacua last year slips to the 5th round. It's like if he were to be redrafted right now after what people saw from him as a rookie, he would not be a fifth-round draft pick. And so it is still like an inexact science. But I do think that, you know, we're going to have a lot of local representation from the University of Utah and BYU in particular. You know, there's a few guys that I could see as, you know, fringe first, second round picks from both BYU and Utah. And I think the combine and BYU and Utah's pro days in particular are going to have a big impact on whether or not we see those guys land in, you know, either the first round or we see them fall the day two in April.
Gonna be a fun time. Of course, you'll have it. You mentioned it's 24/7, 365 with the NFL. There's no doubt about that. But Kyle, keep up the great work. Appreciate you carving out some time for us this morning, and enjoy the game tomorrow. All right.
Thanks, you guys as well. Appreciate you having me on.
There you go. Kyle Ireland from KSLSports.com doing a great job, because he really does everything.
Like, yeah.
It's incredible. Like, I know the NFL's kind of his baby and whatnot, but he trust me, I've thrown things at him, and he just handles it.
Yeah, he helps me. He helps Mitch. He helps Ben. Like,
he knows what he's doing.
He's our little Swiss Army knife. He's our, oh gosh, no, why did I just lose his name? Saints.
Oh, Taysom Hill?
Yes, he's our Taysom Hill.
Yeah. He's the Taysom Hill. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. He can do everything. Honestly, he can. There's no doubt about that. All right. Coming up on the other side, I want to step away from the NFL completely, because there's a certain owner in the NFL that stepped in it with a local quarterback. We'll talk about that in technical fouls. It's all coming up next, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
If you're coming from the street with dirty shoes on your feet, that's a technical foul. If you switch the radio to some modern music show, that's a technical foul. If you touch the thermostat,
you'll get hit with a bat.
Cause that's a technical foul.
You will feel my wrath.
That's a technical foul.
Personal file, 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
A technical foul.
Welcome back to the Saturday Show. It is time now for technical fouls, and I want to start with one that's got a local connection, if that's okay with you guys.
Go for it.
Jets owner Woody Johnson has stepped in it once again. Now, he has put his entire team on notice. This was at the NFL's honors, like their awards night. They've kind of turned like some Oscars thing. Did I watch a second of it? Nope. Have I watched a second of it ever? Nope. I just look at social media. Hey, Lamar Jackson won MVP. Congratulations. Like, that's how I digest it. But nonetheless,
perfect.
He's on the red carpet talking with ESPN, and he says this: the discussions I've had in the last couple of months, they've seen me about as mad as I can be with what was going on and with the offense particularly. We have all this talent. We have to deploy talent properly. So I think they all got the message. This is it. This is the time to go. We've got to produce this year. We have to do a lot better than 7 wins, definitely. But then here comes the kicker, Michelle.
Uh-oh.
Speaking to reporters, he listed the needs for the team this offseason. When it was suggested a backup quarterback should be on the list, he agreed. You need a backup quarterback. We didn't have one last year, unquote.
Ooh.
That's like putting a stake right in the heart of Zach Wilson there.
Whoa.
Like, okay, let me say this right off the top here. Woody Johnson, you signed off on them drafting Zach. This is...
Yeah, this is your fault,
this
your problem.
This is on you. Also... Jake Scott made this point yesterday on Jake and Ben. You're killing Joe Douglas's chances of getting as much as you could have for Zach by saying something like this.
That's true.
There are going to be NFL teams who are like, well, your owner doesn't like this kid. Why do I? Like, so it's like, Joe Douglas is like, shut up. Stop it.
Well, I mean, what else would you expect from a guy whose name is Woody Johnson?
Well... let's just put it this way. I think that the issues with the New York Jets, leaving that alone, go straight to the top based on this.
Oh, totally. I mean,
you're the owner of the team, and we didn't have a backup quarterback last year. Well, that's your number 2 overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft that you just threw right under the bus and backed up over.
That
and
you
over
had
again.
To have, and yeah, then threw under the bus. So. Living up to the name, sir.
Way to
go. Living
up
to the name.
Woody Johnson, congratulations, sir. All right, what do you got for us, Michelle?
So mine is actually also local.
Okay.
So my technical foul goes to Natalie Klein.
Oh,
and,
wow. Yes.
And our wonderful political people that thought voting something like that in would be
state legislature
a great
maybe.
Idea.
Yeah.
And are now turning around and doing the, we didn't think that would happen. Come on. come on, you really didn't think that the result of something like that wouldn't be open season on anybody that maybe slightly outside the realm of what we consider normal. Just shameful, absolutely shameful. So I, for those that don't know, Natalie Klein hinted at a kind of accused girl on, I believe, Conwood women's basketball team of potentially not being a woman.
Of being transgender.
And now, which is not true.
Yes.
Not true. And now this girl is needing protection from various places because she's basically sent a mob squad after her.
Now, I completely agree with you. I don't know if you got this. UHSA issued a statement yesterday. This comes from Jeff Clough, who's the assistant director of the Utah High School Activities Association. It says, the Utah High School Activities Association, or the UHSAA, rejects discrimination in all forms, including bullying, taunting, harassment, and invading the privacy of students. In recent days, the association has seen an unfortunate increase in these foul behaviors at sporting events. This week, innocent students playing sports have suffered public bullying and harassment. Now, this goes on different fronts, because Jada Willis, who was a member of the Westlake women's basketball team, was allegedly had racial slurs hurled at her by Lehigh High students during a basketball game this week.
Utah, we are better than this. And, you know, again, this has nothing to do with either political party. This is just a plea to all of our policymakers, regardless of what letter is in front of their name. This is not us.
Yeah.
And this is unacceptable.
Yep, it says there's no place in high school activities for bullying or harassment. The UHSA is committed to stressing educational and cultural values, improving the participation experience in activities, promoting life skills and lessons involved with the competitive activities, fostering sportsmanship, and assisting those who oversee high school sports and its activities in UHSA's UHSAA member schools. It says the association will continue to ask all those who supervise, participate in, and watch these sports and activities to stand together with UHSAA and its member schools in support of all students who participate and compete in high school activities. Now, Natalie Klein was a member of the Utah State Board of Education. You can't use that platform to do what she did.
No doubt.
It's just so
this whole story is so ick to me, and again, Utah, we are better than this, and we should be demanding better than this.
I completely agree with you on that. All right, Christian, what do you got for us?
I'm keeping it local as well. Okay. This one a little more lighthearted. The NBA trade deadline was Thursday. The Jazz made two trades.
Correct.
Sent Kelly Olynyk, Ochai Agbaji to the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. They sent Simone Fontecchio, the Italian Stallion, right?
Yes.
To the Detroit Pistons.
To the hinterland that is Detroit.
Yep. So the Jazz Instagram, they do these farewell posts, like, thank you, Ochai. Thank you, Simone Fontecchio. Their Instagram posts, scrolling through them, they average maybe 200 comments on each post.
Okay.
The Simone Fontecchio post has 745 comments right now. Much larger number than what they average. A majority of those comments are Italian basketball fans shaming the Utah Jazz for trading away Simone Fontecchio. They're hilarious. A lot of them can't read over air.
Okay.
They're profane.
I'm sure.
Italians.
One of them says something about...
As most Instagram comments seem to be.
Oh my gosh.
Well, also that.
Yeah.
One of them says something... And they're personal.
Yes.
One of them's... Blankety blank, Michael Jordan will own you forever. Like, oh, this gave, like I said, I did the JJ and Alex show the other day.
Yeah.
This gave Alex a good laugh for the majority of the 3-hour show. Like, through the break, he was just scrolling, laughing at it. Like, this is some funny stuff, reading through these comments and hitting the translate. And oh my gosh,
I'm gonna have to go check this out. Being partially Italian, I enjoy angry Italians. They're funny.
Okay, well, might I point out also, though, that in that trade, the Jazz acquired the draft rights to Gabriella Procida, as our good friend Pace Mannion helped us learn on DJ and Pika. How you say his name correctly? He plays for Alba Berlin in the EuroLeague over in Germany right now, but he's part of the Italian national team. So they did get it. They traded.
So we just traded one Italian
for another.
It's fine.
So let's cool your jets,
and
yo.
And it's funny, like, they're acting like they sent him out of the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, he's still, and he's going to have possibly an even more prominent role with the Pistons.
Absolutely.
Like,
well,
he
especially
might be a
with
part
the,
of their future.
The Pistons just traded both Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic, which play the same spot that Simone plays in. opening a spot for Simone to step right in.
But these comments are hilarious. They're like, you shipped him off to the dumpster.
Well, Detroit has been the dumpster this year.
It's true. It's funny. These are very, very funny comments. I would recommend to read them.
I'm going to Instagram in the break and checking that out. Okay, I got one quick one before we take a break here. How far would you guys travel to see your favorite team play, do you think? Like, how many miles? Like,
driving or flying?
Doesn't matter. If you had the resources allocated to you to do so.
Money included?
I guess. I don't know. You'd probably have to pay for it because...
Well, I was going to say, is it... Because, like, I cover one of my favorites. So, like, is it through work or is it, like,
for being a fan.
Okay.
Like, you are going to support your team on your own dime. Yeah.
If I had the unlimited resources and it was someplace really, really cool, I would probably try to make it happen.
Okay.
Realistically, if the Broncos were in this Super Bowl in Vegas, I'd go.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't be able to, like, actually go to the Super Bowl because that's thousands
Vegas.
Of dollars. But
yeah, try 10 grand to get in the door.
Going to Vegas for this weekend anyways just because it sounds like a blast.
But. Yeah. Okay. There is an English football fan who is by the name of Andy Bebbington. He teaches English in China, so let's start there. So he's in mainland China teaching English. He's done this for the past 5 years, he said. He is a Bolton Wanderers fan. Bolton competes, I believe, they're not in the Premier League. They're a league below that, the Championship, if I recall correctly. Oh, League One, excuse me. So it's two divisions below the top flight in England. He traveled 8,000 miles from China, where he is working, to see his beloved Bolton Wanderers play because it's Chinese New Year, by the way. I should say Happy Chinese New Year to Lunar New Year to everybody. It's today. He traveled 8,000 miles from China to go see his favorite team play, only to see them play 10 minutes of a match that was called off due to a waterlogged pitch.
No! That's so sad.
Yep. The fan, originally from Kearsley, tweeted, "I gotta laugh or else I'll cry," unquote.
Oh, buddy.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. He travels 8,000 miles to see his team. He's based in Suzhou, which is 30 minutes away from Shanghai, so he's almost on the east coast of China, traveling clear across the Asian continent to go see his team play in England. And yeah, he says he is home for 2 weeks, though. He's hoping that there's a home game against Wycombe next week that he's hoping to see before he heads back to China. He's on a 2 week break, but that's pretty brutal to travel 8,000 miles to only see 10 minutes of your favorite team play and then be like, you know what? We're not playing this match tonight, everybody.
It's too soupy outside.
Oh, good times. All right. There you go. So we got for technical fouls. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk about some of the other things going on with the Super Bowl. We got some basketball as well. Plenty to come right here on The Saturday Show.